Hey everyone, it's Rockin' Randall here. What you're about to hear is a clip from our review of Stephen King's 1998 X-Files episode, Chinga. How do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Barons. It's there you can unlock over 100 hours worth of exclusive content, which includes our new archival series, our Dark Tower series, over a dozen commentaries on Stephen King movies, weekly minisodes like Randall and Mel's Month of Halloween Hell, and even monthly hangouts over Zoom. You can subscribe now through the link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
So, as I mentioned before, this was directed by Kim Manners, who is arguably one of the best directors of the series.
He did one of my favorite Supernatural episodes, Mystery Spot, from season 3. It's episode 11.
Well, for X-Files, he helmed 52 episodes, four of which were nominated for Emmys. Didn't take one home, unfortunately. But as you mentioned, he was instrumental in lensing Supernatural, but he passed away from lung cancer on January 25th, 2009. This episode was written by Stephen King and Chris Carter, which we'll get into soon. It aired on February 8th, 1998, the same weekend that saw the release of The Replacement Killers and Blues Brothers 2000. So great time for pop culture.
Good time for movies.
Yeah, right. And so this is crazy. So it was viewed by 21.33 million viewers upon its release, which is just...
When I was rewatching all these, I would do the same thing Sammy was doing and go to Wikipedia and look at the numbers. Like even in like the later seasons, the numbers were unbelievable compared to who's watching live TV today.
It's unreal.
Yeah, I feel like that's more than like, probably Stephen King's gotten for a movie at that point, like in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild when you think of just how ubiquitous this show was at this point. And we'll get into that when we talk about the two stars, especially just because this is like peak X-Files at this point in terms of popularity. Yeah. Like it's so loud and deafening. Well, anyway, this got mixed reviews. My buddy Zach Hanlon, who literally wrote a book on the show, it's Monsters of the Week, the complete critical companion to the X-Files. It's a great read. He gave it a C- in his retrospective review on AV Club. He wrote, "This episode seems like one of those ideas that sounds really, really great until someone thinks about it for more than a minute." Got to agree with Zach there. And he's a huge constant reader, by the way. But it does have fans because, and I don't know if we can debate this, but Chinga earned the fourth spot on Screen Rant's 10 scariest episodes of the X-Files, which is like, what? Like, anyway. So how did this...
I don't either.
There's so many scarier moments in this show. So how did this all come together? It's pretty simple. So King and David Duchovny were on an episode of Jeopardy. They're on the 1995 Celebrity Jeopardy Game 1. And King won. Because as we've discussed on all our episodes for the past 5 years, King knows a lot about
pop
culture.
Smart,
He's pretty fucking smart. So, you know, but so is Duchovny, because Duchovny is very similar to his Mulder character in that he's very he's hyper intellectual and he was very hyper literate. So a big showdown there. But anyway, King approached Duchovny and said that he was a fan of the show. He wanted to work on an episode. And basically Duchovny went to Carter. And they basically, Carter wanted him to write for Millennium, which in hindsight probably works better for King. But he basically said, look, we'll do it. We'll make it happen. King worked on the script remotely, gave it to Carter. Carter heavily edited the story because he, as he said, Stephen wasn't used to writing for Mulder and Scully. The Mulder and Scully story in his original draft didn't quite work. So Carter finalized the draft. And one of the biggest changes was, I guess, separating Mulder and Scully. And Manners, who was the director of the episode, he kind of said, you know, I was really excited to be able to direct a Stephen King piece. And when it was all said and done, there's very little Stephen King in it. The nuts and bolts were his, but that was really one of Chris' scripts. And Gillian Anderson reportedly struggled with her own line. She said, you know, the way the script was originally written, read to me, initially seemed as if Scully was kind of stepping up to the plate and played along with the sheriff's humor. And so she played it tongue in cheek, and Carter was like, no, this is supposed to be serious. So clearly, it's just a little lines crossed, as Led Zeppelin says, communication breakdown.
Well, see, I was under the impression that, because there's a number of episodes this season, especially, because there's only 20.
Yeah.
And I think there usually was like 25, 26 around this time. But I thought that they were both filming. So that's why David Duchovny wasn't in a lot of this episode because he was shooting the movie.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the internet, so it could be, the background could be all fucking loose. It would make sense because...
Yeah, because I think there's another one around this time where it's mostly Duchovny, mm-hmm. and she's hardly in it. I think that's because they were doing their scenes and stuff like that for the movie. Because,
that's usually why they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this the production for this season was, if I recall from a lot of the commentaries I used to watch, was just hell because they were filming the movie at the same time.
So. Oh, really?
Because you're doing a movie. You're doing a movie plus 20 episodes.
It's their last season in Vancouver, too. Yeah. So they're probably flying back and forth.
So... Oh, yeah. But when it comes to Chinga, like, what do we make of this? Do we think that this is like a hatchet job in the script, or do we just feel like King is not a good fit for the X-Files? Justin?
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's a curiosity piece, right? Because, wow, this is an episode that Stephen King did. So that's worth recommending alone, right? Mm-hmm. Even though at the end of the, again, once again, at the end of the day, maybe he didn't write that much of it.
Yeah.
But I still feel like Manners even kind of alluded to, that the bones of Stephen King are there. Mm-hmm. It's set in Maine. I believe that the characters surrounding Mulder and Scully sound very Kingian to me.
Yeah.
Like they feel very Kingian. But maybe I see what Chris Carter was saying, that he had to step in and kind of rework a lot of the dialogue for Mulder and Scully. I believe that too.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's.
But like I said, it's kind of like an inoffensive episode. I was shocked at how graphic it was.
Yeah. I mean, it's very violent.
It's very graphic for that time, especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a fun disposable episode. I wasn't bothered by it.
I mean,
it
they'd done
I've
graphic,
seen,
though.
I've seen dozens of worse episodes.
Recently. Oh, yeah. And especially at this point. I mean, they're...
Because Home had already aired at this point, which got like a fucking, you know, viewer discretion advised. Yeah. Like, but, I mean, yeah, I guess it was more bloody than most X-Files episodes I'd watched.
It was, yeah. I feel like you don't...
It's a little clawing eyes out.
Yeah. I know, yeah. It was like Dario Argento, like... Steve.
It was, yeah. Mac.
I feel like it's strange because I know Chris Carter went in and probably tweaked, you know, Scully and Mulder's dialogue, but I think that was a detriment in a sense because for it being so violent and like the doll stuff, especially that opening sequence is very jarring.
Yeah.
And then you have like Mulder watching porn. I think that stuff, it takes away from the episode. So it's like, I think you could have kept their voices in there, but not, it's kind of like it kills the tension every time you're like, ooh, this is really intense. Like, oh man, this person gets it this way. And then we're hopping to like this like really jovial, light, funny scene with Mulder. It kind of kills the tension.
I agree.
So it's like you can't actually get invested in the horror element of it, which is Stephen King's forte. So I don't know. I feel like I understand the need to go in there and kind of make sure that they still are sounding like the characters we know and love. But and some of that stuff is pretty classic. I mean, it's the stuff you remember, you know, like the pencils in the ceiling and stuff. But I think this is the wrong episode to put it in. So I don't know.
I wonder.
You have a lot of funny episodes this season too. So this, I know when I was first watching it, I wasn't that into it. I mean, back to back, you have this, and then what, Bad Blood, like a couple episodes later. And so it's
this is a bad stretch.
They're just prepping their way for season six, which is all coming.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is just, we got to do a whole episode of season six.
I feel like if you look at it, there's a lot of comedy episodes this season, and then you have like really, really intense, dark. Through line
really
stuff with Black Oil, and you know, you're like, what?
So like February 1998, Mac, you're just like fucking fuming at this point, just so angry, just sitting there like, are you like, what's going on with my fucking show? Like, even the
I'm like, we're doing this weird bug thing, come on. Like, let's go.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.